I'm speaking today with Amy Peck, who is running for Houston City Council in District A. Amy, thank you for talking to me today. Why are you running for this office?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm running for Houston City Council District A because I want to represent my home and my community. And much like the rest of District A, I'm also really dissatisfied with our current representation in District A. Unfortunately, we've had a lack of leadership, and we've seen some extremes in our representation. We've seen apathy on one hand and political grandstanding on the other, and neither has led to growth or prosperity in our community. District A needs a real leader, someone who understands how government works and how to work with groups and constituents and other elected officials to truly get the job done. And that is the leader that I'm going to be in District A. I've worked on the state level for almost 8 years now, and I'm really excited to bring my knowledge and experience to the city level, where knowledge and experience are both so desperately needed right now. So also because of my experience in government, I know that real representation doesn't mean voting yes every time, and it doesn't mean voting no every time. It means voting based on the merits of each ordinance after talking to constituents and carefully listening to them. So District A needs a real leader, and I look forward to leading the district.
All right. Well, we'll talk about your experience in just a minute.
Okay.
You did run for this office as well in 2009, and I was wondering, what would you say you learned from that experience?
I learned so much when I ran last time. Some of the things that I learned the most were what District A really needs and what the city of Houston really needs. I had a really unique experience being able to talk to so many people in District A last time and this time as well. And unfortunately, a lot of the issues that were problems last time, 4 years ago, are still problems today. We've had two council members since I ran last time, and I haven't seen any changes on the big issues that are important in the district. So that's what I would like to change, especially constituent services. I would say that is the number one issue that I hear about, besides flooding and crime, that we need changed in District A so that when you call your council member, you actually get a response.
Now, constituent services is what you've been doing for the last eight.
Yes, it is.
You are the director of constituent services?
I am the district director
for Senator Patrick. So tell me about what it is that you actually do. And let's start with that. Tell me what it is you actually do.
I do constituent services for a living. I help navigate people through different state agencies and can do it with city departments and agencies as well. So that's my primary job, talking to constituents, listening to their concerns, and assisting them.
Now, it's been my observation lately that, at least in recent years, the city of Houston has established a pretty good relationship with Harris County. They're working together with them on a lot of things. But in my observation, over the past decade or so, the city often has kind of a rocky relationship with the legislature. I think pretty much every session, there's been at least one bill filed by somebody who represents some part of this area that the city of Houston actively opposes. Speaking as someone who works on the legislative side, or at least in the office of a legislator, why do you think that is, and where would you see an opportunity to improve relationships between the city and the state legislature?
I think first it's a lack of communication on all levels of government, whether that's state, city, or the county. It's just a lack of talking to the correct people and letting each other know what their needs are in the legislative session or on the city level or on the county level. So that's one thing that I can change because I know who all the players are on all the levels, and I would be able to talk to the correct people to really solve the problem.
Okay. And what do you see as the primary needs in District A? I mean, you talked about constituent services, but what do you see as the priorities for District A, and what would you be working to do as the council member?
Well, besides constituent services, I want to protect our homes from flooding, and I am going to make sure that we support our Houston Police Department and our Houston Fire Department and responsibly care for our tax dollars.
Okay. Well, so then flooding, I mean, obviously the renew, now rebuild Houston is the primary mechanism for dealing with infrastructure and flooding needs in the city. What's your view of how that has gone since it was ratified by the voters?
There are a lot of changes that we can make in this program, and I was not in support of this program from the beginning because of the increased tax base. I would like to look at our budget and really see areas that we can cut before we add any kind of taxes. So I was against it from the beginning, but right now, the way that the program is going, there are a lot of changes that can be made, especially for District A homeowners. I've seen problems where people have waited years and years in order to get any kind of flooding infrastructure on their streets. And the reason is because there's always some other street that's just a little worse off than they are. And so it keeps pushing these streets further and further down the list. And so I want to make changes where we add time as a factor into that. So if a street has been waiting 30 years to be fixed and another street comes along and it's bad too, we need to address both of those streets and not just keep pushing the streets further and further down the list.
Okay. When you talked about the budget, I mean, as you know, I mean, when you were running 4 years ago, the city was about to enter a really dark place. Yes. Budget-wise, with the economy being down. A lot of stuff was cut from the budget. Since then, you know, the financial picture has improved considerably. A lot of services have been restored. What's your overall view of the city's financial picture?
Right now, I think that it would be irresponsible to talk about spending any more money on the city, and it's irresponsible to talk about how much needs to be cut too, because at this point, we don't have a clear picture on that. The reason is, although we have general ideas of different departments and different agencies and how much we spend on those agencies, we need to really look at each program that we're spending money on and really make sure that it's useful to the city. Far too often, council members will vote some program into place and then kind of forget that it exists until maybe it comes up in the news, there's some problem with the program, and then everyone jumps and scrambles to fix the program. Every year or every other year, depending on the program, I would like to see them justify their existence to city council so that we know if they should even be funded any further. I want to know if the program is successful, if it's cost effective, if it's working for Houstonians. So until we really analyze every program, it's hard to say what needs to be cut at all. And we really need to look at that moving forward.
Now, one particular point of contention in the city's finances has to do with pensions, in particular the firefighters' pension. As you know, Mayor Parker has been trying to get legislation passed that would require the firefighters to be subject to meet and confer, as the police officers' pension and the municipal pension funds are. The firefighters have fought against that, and so far they have succeeded in keeping any legislation from being introduced, even. Do you support the efforts by Mayor Parker to get a bill passed to subject the firefighters to meet and confer?
Well, our firefighters and our police officers as well have entered into a contract with the city, and the city needs to honor the contract for both the people who are currently retired and the people who are currently working for HPD and HFD. We need to honor those contracts. Moving forward, for anybody new coming into the system, we really need to take a hard look at this program and look at the private sector, look at what other cities are doing, look at what other businesses are doing with pensions. We need to make changes, but those changes don't need to come at the expense of the people who are currently retired and the people who are current employees. Our current council member for District A wanted to defund the pension system, and for someone who claims to be a Republican and running the city like a business, that's not very businesslike to just default on a contract.
Right, so is that a no, you would not support such legislation?
I would not. We need to look at changes, but those changes cannot come at the expense of the people who are currently retired or currently in the system.
Okay. As you know, the city recently made some changes to its development code, Chapter 42, intended to allow more dense development, not just inside the loop, but elsewhere in the city. I'm curious as to your thoughts as to about Chapter 42 in general, but also, as I'm sure you've noticed, there have been a number of incidents where a developer has wanted to build something, usually some multi-story, multi-unit development, in a particular neighborhood where the neighbors have objected to it, like the Ashby High-Rise sort of being the first case, but we're seeing it right here in my neighborhood in the Heights, in Memorial, in River Oaks, and it's going to crop up elsewhere as well. You know, what, if anything, do you think needs to be done to, you know, maybe better balance the needs between developers who want to build and neighborhoods who want to have more control over what gets built?
Well, first, I think it's I think Houston is in a really unique situation to even have the conversation about what to do with all of the growth. Other cities are really struggling, and I guarantee they're not worried about more about the growth. They're trying to get more growth into their city. So Houston is really in a unique situation right now to even have this conversation. And I think the conversation shouldn't really be about what to do with the growth, but it should be how to make sure that our growth is done responsibly. And so we need to find a compromise where a person who's building next door to a homeowner doesn't infringe on the homeowner's rights, and where the homeowner doesn't infringe on someone's right to build next to them as well. We're also in a really unique situation where builders want to come in and build in the city of Houston. And so we should talk to the builders and find ways that we can help, we can get them to help improve upon our infrastructure while they're building these new projects. A lot of areas, especially District A, the infrastructure is crumbling, and flooding is a really big concern. So having really big structures coming in and not doing anything about the infrastructure when they're building has become a real problem.
Okay. Houston, as I'm sure you know, has been gaining a reputation nationally as a really good city for food, for eating out. Our restaurant scene is very good, and food trucks have kind of been at the forefront of this revolution as well. As you know, food truck vendors have recently been organizing to get city council to change ordinances to allow them to operate downtown the same way they do elsewhere in the city. So far, council's heard some testimony, but hasn't taken any action on this, though I'm sure it is going to come up again. Do you support efforts by the food truck vendors to change ordinances to allow them to operate downtown?
Well, I think that the City of Houston's policy should not be that someone can't earn a living or can't open the business of their dreams because of city restrictions. So with that being said, I think that we can find a compromise between the food trucks and the existing brick-and-mortar building restaurants, where the food trucks can still come downtown, but maybe not set up shop, where they're setting up the tables and the chairs. Once they do that, they're no longer a truck. They're a building. And brick-and-mortar restaurants pay property taxes that the food trucks wouldn't. And so we need to make sure that everyone's playing by the same rules in this. But as far as food trucks coming downtown, I think that we can find a compromise to allow for it.
Okay. In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in the City of Houston that forbade the city from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. Now, times are a little different now after the Supreme Court ruling on DOMA, and as you know, a number of cities in Texas have passed ordinances to allow that. You know, there's some question about the meaning of domestic partnership, as you know, but basically the idea is to allow, you know, people who are not, you know, who live together but are not married to be on each other's insurance if one is a city employee. If an effort comes forward to repeal that 2001 charter amendment and allow the city to offer such benefits to its employees, is that something you would support?
Well, of course, this is a really emotional issue for a lot of people, and I think whether you support gay marriage or you don't support it, the real issue here really lies with the state and the federal government. As you know, the Texas Constitution does not allow for same-sex marriage. And I think because of that, it makes it really difficult for a city to put any provisions in place to account for fraud. And so because of that, I think that we need to leave this issue up to the state and the federal government.
Okay. I'm asking everybody this question. Who are you supporting for mayor this year?
Well, Houston has a strong mayoral form of government, and because of that, the mayor gets to decide what goes on the agenda. So it's best for the constituents of District A that I stay out of that, and I am going to be respectful towards the office of the mayor, whoever the mayor is. That doesn't mean voting yes every time. It doesn't mean voting no every time. It just means being respectful towards that office so that we can work together to get the job done.
Okay. And as you know, there are multiple candidates running in District A, including the incumbent. Why, when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member in District A and not one of your opponents?
They should vote for me because I am the candidate with experience. I know how government works, and I know how to work with other people to get the job done. This has been my career for the last 8 years. our current council member and our former council member have already shown what they can do with city council. And unfortunately, a lot of people are very dissatisfied with that, including myself. In addition to that, we have two other candidates in the race, and out of those candidates, I'm the only one with any kind of government experience. We've seen what happens when we elect someone with no experience. It takes a year-long plus learning curve for them to kind of understand what they're doing, and then by then, it's too late. And so we need to elect someone who's going to lead the district, and that's me.
All right. Amy Peck, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.